Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We have reports that a man is dead after a police-involved shooting right near the entrance road to Philadelphia International Airport. So it happened in the wee hours of this morning, and police say they were responding at the time to reports of a man just walking in the middle of a roadway. Officers arrive there. They get into a struggle with a man. Officials say he was tased several times, but it didn't even seem to affect the guy. And that's when shots were fired by police. The man struck three times, pronounced dead at the scene. Philadelphia and Pennsylvania State Police remain on the scene searching for a weapon and drivers. You should expect some detours in and around that area. So stay tuned. We do have traffic reopened finally this morning on both directions of the Boulevard, the Roosevelt Boulevard. And we also have the update as far as the cockpit voice recorder, the black box, so-called, recovered from that med jet that crashed in Northeast Philadelphia. If you're just waking up and maybe you're out of town or you didn't hear, Philadelphia has been making national news since Friday evening when that plane disaster and crash happened. NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, told us last night that box was found 8 feet underground right at the site of the impact, the crash, leaving that crater in the street. But the black box was in decent shape. That's what we're hearing. A key piece of evidence that they have now recovered after the crash, since they potentially could hold critical data to help investigators figure out what in the world went wrong with this crash. NTSB also recovered the plane's enhanced ground proximity warning system, and that can also contain all that important flight data. So NTSB investigators also recovered both engines. Wreckage recovery continues today. All the wreckage will be sent to a secure location in Delaware for further examination.
I couldn't believe the footage. I mean, my wife and daughters, we had a big dance competition weekend, so they were in bed Friday night early at 8 o'clock because we had an early rise on Saturday, and I was watching Steve Keeley's Twitter feed from Fox 29, and then there was, you know, some citizens out there that were posting videos, you know, through their smartphones. It was surreal footage to watch this. And if I read correctly, a little bit of a fire that led to an oxygen tank explosion, which made the plane explode. And they say that everybody was deceased before the plane actually crashed and catered into the ground.
I mean, that I don't think that that's necessarily the official, you know, they'll have the official report for us. That's one of the, you know, reports that's going around.
But just awful.
We have 22 people hurt, 5 hospitalized, 3 still in critical condition. Everyone aboard that med jet, as well as 1 person on the ground, killed. So a total of 6 dead. And Mayor Parker over the weekend, as well as Governor Josh Shapiro, many officials holding multiple news conferences. I think the first, when Mayor Parker asked the nation to pray for our city. And that was just a beautiful message to me personally. I know the city is planning a town hall meeting this week for those impacted by this crash. But it looks like it'll be Wednesday the 5th, an evening, as far as some kind of an evening town hall, because that obviously Cottman Ave in that area completely shut down.
The worst was that, I know they've been shown on a loop since Friday night, but like a lot of these photos or videos, the one is that dash cam photo. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
I think this is
C5. Is that where the man's on fire? I read that.
No, C5. This is, watch this. This is somebody like stuck in traffic or waiting to take a turn. You can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I saw the Philly crime update had a drone footage from above.
Yeah, we have that too. That is cut C4.
C4, yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean,
so if you see, there were 11 homes that were damaged.
Yeah.
Many, multiple fires, firefighters and first responders being credited for putting out those fires very quickly. But if you think about it, people are caught in traffic.
Yep.
And there's nowhere you can go.
No.
So there was one moment with those fires that a man was seen. That was what I had X'd out or tweeted out.
I did see that.
See a man on fire.
Yeah,
I put
walking.
That out.
Ugh.
And then there was another one with a boy that was running. Mm. And in fact, he's been identified by his family as a 10-year-old little boy.
Oh, boy.
Who was one of the first patients to arrive at Jefferson Tarsdale Hospital Friday night. 10-year-old Andre Howard. He was in the car with his father as well as his siblings, when that tragedy just shook the busy area right near the Roosevelt Mall.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You imagine what if this had, God forbid, it was 6 o'clock on a Friday night, had struck the mall or a section of those row homes.
Well, luckily it's 2025 and nobody goes to the mall anymore.
Yeah.
It would have been a disaster if it was 1989.
Yeah, they said it was pretty busy though with that area.
I had one other video I saw. A man was walking out of his house onto his porch, and you could, the doorbell cam, and you can see the explosion.
Yep,
here it is. Look at this.
I mean, it looks like a bomb. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's at first. People didn't know. Is this like a terrorist attack? What is this?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say we broke the story, but you know, Zioli was on the air Friday night, and we were, like, I saw reports, again, X, having all of this way before the major news networks, and I was texting with him and DeSantis, and I was like, is there a live report somewhere?
Right.
And there, none of the networks, because they were all in,
they were in local news, right?
Yeah, but when it was first happening, I think by that time they were in national news, because I think, you know, but
when they were learning about it?
Yeah, it was like 6:30 when it was, he started covering it live, and then Fox 29, you know, was the first on the scene to kind of take some live reports.
Yeah. Look at you giving love to X. Giving love to X. And
wait till we
get to the bottom of the hour, folks.
They had it way before anybody else.
Yeah. You know, sometimes social media can be good.
But I have to say this. And I'm glad we have all this footage, and I'm glad. But this guy, this is C1, Phil. This guy was recorded when he was asked, you know, why he went in to help, and this is what he said.
And I've got two small children. I was absolutely scared, but I'm like, I need to find someone I can help, because I cannot stand by and watch people just record.
Yep.
I can't do that. I don't record. I help. I don't care about social media.
Nice.
I help so that I can save lives.
What did you do to help?
I gave the shirt off my back to help a young child with a head laceration. A piece actually went through a red pickup's window, hit the kid, and the parents were shouting, help us, help us, help us. No one was around to help at the time. Cops are just approaching. I took the shirt off my back, gave to them, said, push this on his head, keep pressure. I ran back to my car. I got rags. I got anything I could find to, like, absorb blood, push on cuts. My mom worked at a doctor's office. She was there. She was helping me. She's disabled. She doesn't walk fast. She was walking fast.
There you go.
Good for that guy. Nice work.
Yeah, so this is the tragedy striking Northeast Philadelphia. And over the weekend, they were saying 19 confirmed injured, but now that number has increased to 22 people injured. Like I say, 5 hospitalized, 3 in critical condition, 11 homes sustained damage, along with many businesses. And that's why we're learning more about this. And as well, a community plan is coming together to deal with all of this. 11-year-old Valentina Guzman Murillo was the little girl, along with her mom, Lizeth, who's 31 years old. They were, you know, it's just tragic. They were on that med jet, and she had sustained life-saving treatment at Shriners Children's Hospital, was on her way home to the Ensenada near Tijuana. They were from Mexico. And so many at Shriners Hospital, which is an incredible place if you've ever dealt with them or if you've ever been there, but you know, our prayers to them as well.
So the preliminary reports, Nick, you're saying that they think an oxygen jet?
That's just one report that I saw.
A lot of speculation, nothing official.
Interesting. Can we play one more of this? This is C3. This is the Cotman and the Boulevard, like a before and after photo. Like, it looks like a war zone.
Yes.
We're going to need the music.
Wow.
See
Wow. I mean, I know I have friends that have done, you know, sports in this city that grew up that I was texting with that were 8-9 blocks away from where that happened.
Yeah.
When they were growing up as kids.
It's, this could have been a lot worse. You know what I mean? Like I hate to say that, but
do we have the casualty number, Dawn? What as far as lives lost?
7 yes. They're saying now, right?
7. And yeah, that's flight plus people that were in the vicinity?
Yeah, and then we have 5. We have a total of 22 injured.
Okay.
We have 5 hospitalized, 3 of them still in very critical condition.
Okay.
So yeah. We have all of that. And, of course, you know, the other plane crash, I was getting calls all weekend from people, are you okay? Because
yeah.
Philadelphia was in the headlines. Of course, the NTSB, the other big story we have been covering for you all week was the Black Hawk down in D.C., that deadly plane crash. And we now know that Black Hawk in D.C. was practicing classified continuity of government missions in case of an attack on the United States. So that is the military chopper that collided with an American Airlines flight last week conducting that training. So we'll be getting more information on that as well. They've recovered 55 bodies from the Potomac. So that's another major story. And there's so much other news, by the way. Palestinian terror group Hamas freed the first American hostage. Keith Siegel, who's an American with dual Israeli citizenship, taken hostage with his wife Aviva October 7, 2023. His wife previously released. 2 others released as well, Ofer and Yarden Bibas. And Bibas, the father of baby Kiefer, remember, only 9 months old at the time of that terror attack. But this, as we are on day 486 this morning, Israel at war with many hostages still held, but the first American hostage was just released over the weekend. And there's so much news that's happening, and the news cycles are so crazy that sometimes we're not even getting a chance but to report that one time. Also, over the weekend, President Trump ordering military airstrikes in Somalia, taking out, they say, a senior ISIS attack planner, another terrorist the planner had recruited. And those strikes, just weeks after an ISIS-inspired terrorist killed 14 people, injured dozens more after plowing a truck into New Year's revelers in New Orleans. There's just so much news as we talk about the tariffs news. Nick will get that in his big take. I want to put one other local story, and this is a bombshell report that came out over the weekend. These are dramatic new developments in what is now being called the murder of Philadelphia teacher Ellen Greenberg. She was 27 years young, found dead with more than 20 stab wounds, discovered by her fiance back in January of 2011 inside the couple's locked apartment, Venice Lofts, Flat Rock Road in Manayunk. And so her family, and we've covered this for years, her family had fought this, saying there's no way Ellen had committed suicide. Many of these stab wounds were in her back. And they fought this and fought this. In one of the civil suits over the weekend, the medical examiner, Marlon Osborne, who had initially ruled her death a homicide, then for whatever reason switched it to a suicide, over the weekend now ruled it back to homicide or undetermined.
It's unbelievable.
This is it's a real bombshell report, and these poor parents have been through it. So I would be remiss if I did not. And so back in court today and so on. So mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I did not mention some of these things, because I don't know if we'll get to say it again today.
Yeah, that never sat well with me. It just logically made no sense.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
And we'll have to talk about Groundhog Day, but we do have to say Eagles back in, they're in New Orleans.
Eagles!
They've arrived for what,
yeah.
I love that Jalen Hurts calls it, you know, a business trip. We
but
got some business.
One more to go. One game.
Woo! Super Bowl coming up. So for those lucky enough to be there, those media days, this is so much fun, right? This tonight's the big pep rally.
Yeah, and then tomorrow's media day where retired players walk around pimping deodorants and giving out bad interviews on sports talk radio. And program
so much
directors
fun.
Are ready to blow their head off.
Yeah, it's a week of really bad radio until you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's like a bucket list item that you want to do once if you're in sports talk. And then you're like, do I really want to sit around in a big conference room for an entire week as people shill and pimp product? Probably not.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I always loved it.
You like that kind of stuff. I'd rather just sit in the studio and be left alone.
And all the Eagles fans are awesome. They're going to take over New Orleans.
Yeah.
Although there was that warning because of the officials in New Orleans were saying, We have these really old light poles, and we can't. Please don't climb them.
Yes.
We're worried that they're going to break.
Stay off the New Orleans poles.
Oh, my goodness. We are sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union this morning. Apply today for a home equity loan from First Harvest Credit Union to leverage the equity in your home and turn it into cash. Cash. Get a fixed rate as low as 6.24% APR. Visit firstharvestcu.com for all the details. Membership restrictions apply. Equal housing lender. Insured by NCUA. Thank you. First Harvest Credit Union. Wow. Whew. Our first edition. So much news. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn. Thank you very much. 6:21 Monday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by Meineke. The Big Take. Trump tariffs, trade wars, and potential turmoil. You know, Donald Trump is doing everything he campaigned on, promised he would do, and said would happen if he got elected president again. From ICE raids and deportations with our nation's border crisis, to ending DEI initiatives, to the January 6th pardons, and much more. That would also include absurd gender identity, like putting pronouns in your email signature if you are a federal employee. That would also include killing ISIS terrorists. And that would also include the implementation of tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. Tariffs and their economic impact on Americans' bank accounts will undoubtedly be, in my opinion, the tipping point in the early days of the second Trump term. Obviously with the media, but also the costs of everyday items for us. If this power play by Trump does not work, he will be batting 500. If he is able to pull this off and it works, he will be batting 1,000. But if he fails, if it doesn't work, he's still going to be batting 500, but nailing immigration issues and failing on financial issues will be the media's nonstop talking point. And it should be. That's right. I said it. I'm not interested in costs rising. There were and are high enough costs right now from COVID, supply shortages, and of course, the Biden administration's failed economic policies. I'm not interested in coughing up more money if Trump fails with the economy on the tariffs and if they backfire. I'm not saying he will fail, but if he does, rest assured, I am going to rip him if my bottom line is impacted. And it's a gamble. I love to gamble. Trump used to own casinos. He knows a thing or two about gambling. According to financial experts, this is well over a $1 trillion gamble. A roll of the dice, if you will. Now, Trump has a history of tariffs from his first term, including on solar panels and washing machines in 2018. Although this time around, he's not playing, not even remotely. He's tired of America being ripped off in bad business deals, as you should be as well. He's had it with the fentanyl crisis that is killing American citizens. I've had it with that for sure. And he's flexing his political prowess and forcing other nations to bend the knee. And I think it could very well work. But if it doesn't, I'm not going to be happy. And you shouldn't either. But ultimately, how much do you value your nation's power? Your ability to protect a loved one from perhaps a potential drug overdose or a drug death? Everybody has a price. Trump has officially placed 25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada, as well as 10% tariffs on goods from China. Now, is Trump willing to budge and head back to the bargaining table? Listen and watch this.
President, is there anything China, Canada, and Mexico can do tonight to forestall your implementation of tariffs tomorrow?
No, nothing. Not right now, no.
Not a negotiating tool?
No, it's not. No, it's a pure economic. We have big deficits with, as you know, with all three of them. And in one case, they're sending massive amounts of fentanyl, killing hundreds of thousands of people a year with the fentanyl.
So what products could see a price hike? Energy imported from Canada, including oil, natural gas, and electricity. Those could go into effect as soon as tomorrow. One analysis from a Yale University budget lab said it would cost Americans an additional $1,100 per year in taxes. Other items impacted could include alcohol, avocados, tomatoes, smartphones, toys, crude oil, gasoline, and sledgehammers. This is very likely a negotiating ploy from Trump. He was able to get Zuckerberg, Bezos, and Elon Musk over the last few years to come aboard and bend the knee to him. And I think getting Justin Trudeau to bend the knee should be a layup. Here's Canada's outgoing prime minister. Listen and watch.
When did you first learn that President Trump intends to increase tariffs if Canada retaliates, and how has that changed your strategy?
I think Canadians understand that we need to respond to this. We need to respond in a way that is appropriate, that is measured but forceful, and that meets the moment. We're certainly not looking to escalate, but we will stand up for Canada, for Canadians, for Canadian jobs.
All right, so you can check Canada off of the pushback list. Queen Justine, governor of Canada, is about as soft as baby poop. I believe Mexico will eventually cave. They'll tap out and give in to Trump. But it's China, I believe, that will provide the biggest resistance. But what if Trump's tariffs are successful? And how would that look? Howard Lutnick explained Friday on CNBC. Listen and watch.
We can't sell a Ford or GM in Europe. You go to Europe, you can't sell a Ford or GM. Why? There's 100% tariffs. How about in Japan? 100% tariffs. So do you think if we said we're going to tariff you the way you tariff us, do you think they're going to allow Mercedes and all these Japanese companies and Porsches and BMWs to all of a sudden have 100% tariffs in America? Of course not. They're going to come and negotiate, and their tariffs are going to come down. And finally, Ford and General Motors are going to be able to sell in these places.
How's that sound?
Tariffs are an amazing tool by the president to use. He understands don't tariff stuff we don't make, right? If we don't make it and you want to buy it, I don't want to put the price up. It's pointless. But use tariffs to build in America. If we want to make it in America, tariff it. Or if we're competing with a tariff it. In 1948, we came up with something called the Marshall Plan, right? The world, Germany and Japan were destroyed after World War II, and we wanted to export our economy to them. So we made a rule. They could tariff us, and we won't tariff them. So they can rebuild.
This is the best explanation I've heard of.
So they can rebuild their economy. When should that have ended? What do you think, 1980? Why 40 years are Japan and Germany and all of Europe still tariffing the heck out of our auto industry, tariffing the heck out of our furniture industry? Do you realize all your furniture you're buying that's made foreign? It seems crazy. Why? It's because they tariff us and we don't tariff them. It's so obvious.
Anything you can tariff, we can tariff better. And that should be the rallying cry. And I'm definitely going to give Trump the benefit of the doubt. I like the policy. I love the conviction of America first. And I want to live in a nation where my country is the one dictating the terms. But Trump did not like the criticism, and he did not take it lightly as he blasted the Wall Street Journal over the weekend as, quote, the tariff lobby, and insisting that these nations have been part of, quote, a decades-long ripoff of America. He also admitted that this policy would likely bring pain, writing, quote, will there be some pain? Yes, maybe, and maybe not. But we will make America great again, and it will be worth the price that must be paid, end quote. I say it's better than a 50-50 coin flip that Trump will get what he's seeking. But there's definitely a quantifiable chance that this will cost everyday Americans like us on the short term. And if it does, he could be ripped. I know I will rip him for it. Because if it was Biden, I wouldn't even hesitate to rip him for it. But if we end up better off in the long term, that's ultimately, I think, the end goal here. But if other nations call his bluff and don't back down, all of us that live paycheck to paycheck that can't afford an additional $1,100 in expenses for a year, we're the ones who suffer. But time will tell if we end up in tariff turmoil. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by the good folks at Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? If so, don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned Meineke and get their expert technicians on the job as they will diagnose the problem for you today. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Trump, tariffs, and trade wars as we continue. And also, could Stocker be in love with not only Donald Trump, but also the FCC? Wait till you hear this story as we continue in the 6 o'clock hour. Scale and Company, live on a Monday morning, here on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Canada, and even though that little weasel Trudeau sounded like he was sniveling his way through that response that I played for you in the Big Take a few minutes ago, Canadian provinces now saying, according to the New York Post, that they will ban booze from red states in the United States as revenge to Donald Trump's tariffs, saying the liquor that we get, it's poop. And I'm cleaning that up because they said the S word. Because the FCC won't allow me to say that on radio, which we'll get to momentarily. They're saying it's S anyways. All right, so he said we could have some short-term pain, and Donald Trump says Americans understand that. Don Stensland, your thoughts on Trump tariffs and a potential trade war?
Well, first you may say, well, how could the president of the United States do this? Because he's declared that this is an emergency situation, that this is an extraordinary threat posed by the illegals, the drugs, the deadly fentanyl, that's what constitutes a national emergency. And he's saying that the northern border, the southern border, Canada, Mexico, that they are complicit in all of this. That's number one. As far as the energy from Canada, it'll be 10%. The rest will be 25%. But they're going to meet. And I think in this game of chicken, I don't think he's going to blink. I think that if you look at the subsidies that we give these countries, hundreds of billions of dollars, mm-hmm. we give our neighbors to the north and the south. And on top of it, then we get a bad deal. They don't allow, if you continue to play him last night, he just riffed. It's pretty amazing. You get more out of him as far as an update, you know what I'm saying, that you got in a year in the previous administration. But, you know, he talks about this and he just says they block us from so much trade going into Canada, yet we take everything of everybody else's. It's always a bad deal for us. And so I support this. I think, you know, look. Maybe this is crazy, but they keep pointing to the fact that in the 1920s, the last time we had tariffs, that it's a great way for us to get that. And remember, he talked about instead of the Internal Revenue Service, have the External Right. Revenue Service. In other words, what have you done for us lately, world? We're a huge buyer. We are a huge consumer. Unfortunately, we are like the gluttons of the world. We mm-hmm. buy. They all know it, and yeah. they need us.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely understand, and my whole argument, because I looked at this from two different perspectives of, you know, bad business deals and the pain that Americans are feeling. I think we all agree on the fentanyl front that we don't want to see any more Americans dead. Fentanyl has killed more Americans than every terrorist organization on the planet combined. Like, that's fact. Tom Homan has reiterated that countless times. And obviously, what price do you put on a life, right? Whether it's from fentanyl, sexual assault, murder, Lake and Riley, you name that. But then on the business side of it, with the tariffs, with the different exports and imports, to me, a lot of bad business deals. And I want America to be on the winning end of the business deal. But we are still looking economically. Forget the stock market for a moment. We're looking at absurd energy prices, still absurd grocery prices, gas prices that are still too high. Now, if you hit, remember, and it was Kamala Harris who said this, the average American cannot afford an unexpected $400 expense. Your washer goes, your freezer goes in your garage where you store all your meats and stuff that maybe you buy in bulk from a Sam's Club. If that goes, most Americans can't afford $400. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to be able to just say, well, you know what? For the sake of the country long term, which most people really don't even think or invest long term because they're just trying to make it to each month, I'll suck it up and get whacked for another $1,100. I'm not saying he's going to fail, but if it does go south and not everybody loses in the game of chicken, then it's going to really suck for us. For those of us that live paycheck to paycheck.
Well, I mean, look at, if you look at it, the majority of these other countries, it's like 65 plus percent of Canada's GDP is trade. Right. Mexico's is even bigger than that.
Yep.
It's like 72 to 75%, depending on which one of these models you look at. Now China's the 37%. And so that one, you know, I'll be interested to see. I think China's going to deal.
You think so?
They're the first one. This is all the art of the deal. This is all Trump saying we're getting the bad end of the deal. They all know. They already know that. They already think we're big suckers. And so I really believe that this is going to end up in a negotiation.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
And part of this is he's saying to Mexico. And by the way, Canada, the cartels, there was one report I read that the cartels have labs, a fentanyl labs in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And not just fentanyl. It's other bad stuff. And so these other countries, they have these labs, they have these cartels. I think part of what Trump is saying is, hey, we got to pay $14K per deportee. You got to help us build the wall. You got to help us with this mess that you've been complicit in creating. I think that's all part of it. And I do think they will come together. They will negotiate. I think everything will be fine once again. And we'll see that. I don't know if these tariffs actually end up going into place, but I think if they do, they have more to lose than we have to lose.
So
our trade? 24% of our GDP. So less than a quarter percent. So
you have confidence that the
total
deal
confidence
will get done, especially with China.
And by the way, why are we getting our prescription meds from China anyway?
Oh, I agree.
Why are we getting all? We learned this during the pandemic. Yeah. What a disaster!
I agree.
We shouldn't be dependent on it. We should be energy independent, and we should not be dependent with critical things that we need, mm-hmm. like medicine. That shouldn't happen. We shouldn't be dependent on other countries for that anyway.
See, I feel confident that, you know, Canada and Mexico, because of those two numbers you said, 60-something and 70-something, I mean, we basically bankroll those two nations.
Yeah.
Without us, those two nations are cooked. I think China's a little more independent from the necessity of having to deal with America. It's sad. I think we're actually more dependent upon China than they are upon us, but I just don't trust Xi Jinping, and I think they're more willing to roll the dice and play tough.
What do you guys make about hedge funds betting against the...
I know, I saw that, but hedge funds... You know what? Trump ought to come out, and I've said this for years.
Yeah.
Hedge fund, and I know many, many people who are hedge fund managers,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I think that when you bet against this country, you should have to pay a higher... They should have to pay 35% hedge fund. You're betting against us. You should pay more.
So you
put a tariff on them, 35%.
Stalker, you're implying that the smart...
I'm not implying anything. I'm reacting to an article that I read.
Right. Yeah. But the implication is that the smart people out there in the financial sector are expecting things to go
south
real quick.
Well, they're hedging their bets. That's the old saying, hedging their bets. So yeah.
And they're right
saying,
99% of the time.
Might hedge my Super Bowl bet as well.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And you know, we can sit here and say, yes, this is good for the long term and everything like that. But, like, just think of our business. You know what I mean? Think of radio. Think of when businesses have to tighten their belts. What's the first to go? Marketing budgets, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, like, I'm just saying that, like, be careful what you guys wish for, honestly. Like, I know it's rah, rah, let's do this because Trump did it. But, like, you know, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
People, in my opinion, people voted for the price of, what was it? The price of eggs to go down, the price of bacon to go down. You know what I mean? I don't know if they voted for this. I mean, yes, the people in this audience did.
Right, right.
But I'm just saying the majority...
The casual person doesn't even have a clue about tariffs in general.
Yep. I'm not saying it's not...
Or Trump's history of using it.
I'm not saying we're not getting taken advantage of. Because we 100% are.
1,000%.
But I'm just saying that, like, this is, you know, I don't know if
well, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't, right?
I don't know if hard economic pain for... quote unquote, a little bit is what the majority of people voted for.
We'll see. 855-839-1210. From tariffs to television, radio, and lawsuits, as Donald Trump's FCC now officially launching an investigation into NPR, PBS, and others for potentially violating federal law, which is fascinating because late last week, I think it was the last day Stalker was here, so it was Wednesday, we gave you those salaries that were released to the public of NPR executives making $400,000 and $500,000 a year, and not even just executives, but hosts and broadcasters. And this is an amazing story because I know, Stalker, you have a disdain for the FCC, for the fact that we can't use big people language on the radio in fear of being in trouble.
Amen.
Because, you know, you got to protect the FCC license, which you actually, you really honestly have to do as a broadcaster. One of the first things they tell you is protect the FCC license. We trust you with a microphone. Just like King Shooters trusted me to shoot a gun yesterday. Don't make us regret it. And Trump's FCC launching this investigation, as they say, and this is from Brendan Carr, who wrote the letter on Wednesday to the presidents and the chief executives of both broadcasting entities, that they could be in violation of federal law by airing commercials. The two executives, Catherine Marr and Paula Kerger, received these letters from Brendan Carr and the FCC alleging that, quote, it is possible that NPR and PBS member stations are broadcasting underwriting announcements that cross the line into prohibited commercial advertisements. Carr added that he's providing a copy of the letter to members of Congress because he believes the investigation will be relevant to the ongoing legislative debate of whether or not to defund NPR and PBS. The hell with defunding the police. And Stocker, I want to get your thoughts on this. Because I agree with you. It's just absurd that our government, our tax dollars for state-run media go to these outlets, and they don't have to. And look, Nick, if you don't like it, then quit, right? I have to compete for ratings and revenue. You know, I mean, I'm out there, you know, with our sales reps at different broadcast locations and events, King Shooters yesterday. What we have to do to generate revenue versus what they don't have to do, it's not even apples to oranges.
Look, people are going to say, you're stifling free speech. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that WHYY shouldn't exist or, you know, those NPR stations couldn't exist. If there's a market for it, absolutely have at it. Let them compete with us. I 100% want to compete with us. But don't give them that extra edge by not having to have them compete for revenue. It's just absurd in this day and age that we have tote bag fund drive, fundraisers, whatever you call them, you know, to keep them on the air. It's like, give me a break. You're not doing, it's not for the public good. You know what I mean? Like what you're doing is not for the public good. It's state propaganda. It's state run media. So no, I absolutely go after them. Absolutely defund them.
The crazy part of all of this, with as far as you know, where their revenue comes from, you know, we are labeled as that's that toxic station. They wouldn't. I don't. And I'm not sitting there saying that they're good at what they do. They're bad at what they do. I honestly, God, I've never actually listened to NPR in my life. I swear to God, I've never. I couldn't find it on my dial. If you asked me to find it on a preset or a number, true story. But, I mean, they're the opposite from a labeling standpoint as we are, right?
Yeah.
They're not labeled toxic. So my guess is, from a revenue standpoint, that advertisers wouldn't be leery or skeptical of spending ad dollars with them, would they?
Can you imagine? No, they absolutely would not. Can you imagine if Trump decided, or the Trump administration decided, that stations like WPHT needed to be publicly funded? The public outrage and outcry for that would be astronomical. But yet nobody bats an eye to the fact that PBS and again, Dawn brought up a great point last week when she brought up Sesame Street. I mean, like, Think about how much money they make. I mean, Sesame Street is on all day long in my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is it's absurd that
Big Bird is a billionaire.
Yeah, thank you. It's absurd that the public has to pay for this nonsense. It doesn't. Let them compete like we do. If they beat us and they beat us in ad revenue, great.
Yeah.
That's the free market. But let them compete. Don't fund. Defund them. Amen.
Oscar's a millionaire. I have no idea why he's still grouchy. It's unbelievable.
This is music to my ears. Music to my. I usually hate the FCC because they're all a bunch of creeps. But I'm all for this.
This is a big story.
And again, I don't want them silenced.
No.
I don't want them to go away. I want all. I love competition. You guys know me. I want all the competition. I want all the competition so we can bury it just like we bury that other low-rated AM station. I bring it. But I want to compete with these people.
And, I mean, and this
give me
is,
a chance.
Yeah, and this is not just Philadelphia, because the FCC oversees the actions of approximately 1,500 broadcast stations across the country, which holds air, licenses with both public airwaves for radio and television. So, I mean, this is a massive story. This is right on. I would put this right up there with, you know, who bought this company. I would put this right up there with Ted Cruz and Ted Markey up in Massachusetts with the Ed Markey with Save AM Radio and Cars. I mean, we are at a very interesting point collectively in the news media landscape. I mean, now I'm reading this story last night from Deadline as Paramount and CBS are getting close to settling with Trump after Trump used what they are calling the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act for false advertising. And people might be like, well, what the hell does that mean? That's the 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris, where they deceptively edited her answers, two different answers to the same question from the same interview, which Trump said was another variation of election interference.
And don't, you know, to my liberal friends out there, don't be fooled by the headlines of ooh, this is silencing free speech and this is him going after the media. No, no, this is not. This is something that needed to be done ages ago.
Well, it's just impacting the way their business model operates.
100%.
Yeah.
Because their business model does not, we do not need it. You know what I mean? Like, this is, there is a market for this. I've seen the ratings. I know WHYY can get ratings. So there is a market for this. It just needs, like, they need to just embrace it and just say, and I know everybody's going to be like, well, you guys do the radiothon every year, which is, by the way, coming up March 21st for the Travis Manning Foundation. But we're not raising money for ourselves.
No.
We're not raising money for 1210. We're raising money for a great charity.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When they do these fund drives and or fund drives or whatever you call them, you know, where you win the tote bags and get the tote bags. They're doing it to stay in business.
Yeah.
And that's not how businesses like this should operate.
Yeah, I agree. And we already have state-run media in this country. It's called mainstream media and television, right? Yeah. And all the papers out there already. Do we need another one? Seriously? 855-839-1210. We'll come back, kickoff hour number two. Dawn has some news on the way. And then a week from today, will we have delayed school starts after the big game?
Some people will.
Yeah. Oh, there was no delays, though, in Philadelphia after that tragedy that we saw Friday night. But after a football game, we'll start around 10 o'clock. No.
We start at 6 a.m.
Back after this. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.